Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Today, Hank is joined by Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Our latest issue of the journal is a special edition, including articles on how to share your faith, ethics, and a five-part article reassessing the movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, known as the local church. These are just a few of the fascinating subjects you'll find in the Christian Research Journal. If you'd like to join in the conversation and ask Elliot or Hank a question on these and other related topics, give us a call right now at 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In studio with me, Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. And this is a very special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are going to focus in on the current special edition of the Christian Research Journal. I want to take just a moment before I introduce Elliot formally to set up the situation that we're going to be discussing today. And this goes all the way back to 2003, when I asked Elliot Miller to join me for a meeting with representatives of Living Stream Ministry. This is a ministry which supports the local church movement founded by Watchman Nee and his protege, Witness Lee. Now, during that meeting, Elliot and I heard stirring affirmations of the very doctrines that the local churches allegedly denied. One by one, in their own words, representatives of the local churches testified to their belief in one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, to the reality that human beings can never ontologically attain godhood, and to the fact that they were only the church, not the only church. And as a result of that meeting back in 2003, I initiated a research project culminating in this expanded cover story of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal. Now, if you've never subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you want to start today, and you could do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, you can even do it by mail. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. What we did is we initiated a special research project. Again, it's in this edition of the Christian Research Journal. And that research was conducted not only in the United States of America, but also in China, in Taiwan, South Korea, England, and it involved careful evaluation of literally hundreds of books, of papers, of church documents, audio, video recordings, even court documents. And the result of this primary research is encapsulated in three words. The words are on the front cover of this journal. The three words are, "We were wrong." In fact, I still remember Elliot Miller saying those three words, "I was wrong," to a man in China who had suffered imprisonment for a total of 24 years. That just falls off our tongue. But think about it, being in prison for 24 years, not 4 years or 14, 24 years. And these words, therefore, were not merely uttered in a moment of emotion. No, quite frankly, these words were uttered after years of painstaking primary research. Now, look, I don't want to gloss this over. We have significant doctrinal differences with this movement known as the local churches on non-essential issues. And if you want proof positive of that, just get my book, The Apocalypse Code. But when it comes to essential Christian doctrine, the very doctrines for which the martyrs spilled their blood, we stand shoulder to shoulder with people in the local churches. The Christian Research Institute, and I want to underscore this, has never shied away from controversy. Y2K is a classic case in point. The cover story of the 1999 edition of the Christian Research Journal was titled "The Millennium Bug Debugged." And as a result, we were characterized back then as blind to truth, downright uninformed, like an ostrich with your head in the sand. In fact, when I suggested on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that Y2K would not even be a top 10 news story in the year 2000, I was summarily accused of causing complacency within the body of Christ. And then there was another significant controversy. It involved Herbert W. Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God. I still vividly recall the controversy that erupted when I began meeting with church leaders. Yet, in 1994, the Christian Research Journal and the Bible Answer Man broadcast were privileged to be the first to publicly announce that the Worldwide Church of God had embarked upon a course virtually uncharted in church history. A course that took them from the kingdom of the cults to the kingdom of Christ. And I was blessed to be able to write the foreword to a book by Joseph Tkach, president of the Worldwide Church of God, which was titled Transformed by Truth. Today he's not only my dear friend, but he is my brother in Christ. Someone who has made the pilgrimage from cultism to Christ. Well, Joseph Tkach, by God's grace, was able to utter the words, "We were wrong." And we now express those self-same words regarding our stance on Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, and the local churches. And look, this has not been painless. The cost has been enormous. Integrity has been questioned, motives challenged, slander. As a result, support has been compromised. If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. How can 70 Christian leaders who signed an open letter calling the local churches to confess their false doctrines and their false practices be wrong? Surely the integrity of the Christian Research Institute, dare I say it, has been compromised. Well, in the midst of the turmoil, I have reminded our staff that ministry is no place for a popularity contest. That it's not about the size of the platform. It's not about being politically correct. At the end of the day, we do what we do because truth matters. And whatever the cost, let me tell you this, it pales by comparison to that borne by the persecuted church in China. Indeed, by the persecuted church around the world. That reality is not just a theory for me. It was memorialized in a moment forever emblazoned upon my mind. A Chinese woman, brilliant smile, had just finished communicating the experience of incarceration due to reading unauthorized material in an unauthorized meeting. There was not a hint of self-pity. only the radiance of a follower of Christ who had experienced the reality of authentic New Testament Christianity. And when she finished, she thanked me for standing for truth, no matter what the cost. Never have I felt more unworthy. Whatever I face pales by comparison to what she and multitudes like her have suffered. Perhaps no three words are more likely to stick in our throats than those three words, "I was wrong." And yet, for a ministry committed to the maxim, "Because truth matters," the willingness to utter these words is not an option, it is an essential. And what I've just said, I've communicated not just verbally, but in writing, in the From the President column, under the title, "We Were Wrong." How important is truth to us? Is it important enough to us to be able to say, "I was wrong"? How important is it to be right with our Heavenly Father? Enough to ask forgiveness of people who have been maligned for years? How important is the love of Christ to us, enough to embrace in Christian fellowship people we once distrusted and resented, despite the fact that many cultural and non-essential theological differences still exist between us? Can we still say we were wrong? Those are questions posed by Elliot Miller in this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And again, he joins me now in studio. We want to talk about this in detail for a lot of reasons. We as believers need to learn how to do discernment ministry properly. We need to look carefully at how investigative journalism is being done within the Christian church. Oftentimes, it's not investigative journalism. It's the yellow journalism practiced in the world imported into the church. So often, we are stuck in our own psycho-epistemological cocoons, in a linguistic hall of mirrors, and we think somehow or other we have been able to fully codify the mystery of the nature of God in our language and denounce those when cultural barriers are often the obstacle. We need, as Christians, to understand doctrine and theology. We need to know that theology matters. That what we are discussing in studio today is not an ivory tower debate. There are people halfway around the world sitting in prisons and dying because ideas have consequences. That's what we're talking about today, Elliot.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Hank. Ideas do have consequences, and what we in the countercult community have published, doing our thing of critiquing different movements according to a paradigm that we developed. You know, you fit into this paradigm, you're orthodox. You don't fit into it, then you're unorthodox. But not really thinking in terms of a larger paradigm that would match the entire human race, but more seeing things from the paradigm of our Western evangelical perspective. And so if we stamp heresy on a group and because they failed our litmus test, we may not realize that, number one, that was more of a culturally than theologically determined stamp, and number two, that the consequences of that is that our brothers and sisters in Christ, directly because of what we published, are being put in prison and persecuted and some don't return alive. And, you know, this is not melodramatic speech. I met people when you and I were in China last year who had been in prison as a result of material that we and others had published. And, you know, they could not have been more gracious, but the Holy Spirit was gracious enough to let me see the consequences of our past cavalier actions.
Dr. Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. We're talking about this special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It has the three words that so often stick in your throat, whether it's talking to a child, a son or a daughter, a mother or a father, a grandmother or grandfather, whether talking to a family member or a friend. Oftentimes we cannot say those three words. These are words that as Christians we must say. As I say, in Christian discernment ministry in particular, this is not an option, it's an essential. We're going to be talking about some very significant things today. The nature of God, the nature of man, lawsuits among Christians, issues that demand our attention. We'll be focusing on them on the other side of the break. Please don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal.
To find out more about one of the articles or to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. Hank and his guests will return right after this. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to this subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. In the latest issue, we discuss abortion and healthcare reform, review several new books, walk you through a spiritual boot camp, and re-evaluate our view of the movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, known as the local church. You can subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I am in studio today with Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. We're talking about the Christian Research Journal that is titled We Were Wrong, A Reassessment of the Local Church Movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. And Elliot, one of the things that has taken place publicly and is now being roundly disseminated through the internet is an open letter by 70 Christians who are openly asking Witness Lee and his followers, Witness Lee, of course, not alive anymore, but the movement to renounce their heretical teachings. And the first question that always comes to my mind when you see a letter like this is, how can 70 Christians be wrong, particularly on something that these Christians know a lot about, and that is the nature of God? How could they have missed the import of Witness Lee's words such that they're saying these words are downright heretical?
Well, you know, Hank, when you ask that question, my response is that something that I personally find even more amazing than the idea that 70 Christians, and not just Christians, but many of these people are leading scholars, apologists, thinkers, countercult workers, that they could be wrong. It's, to me, even more amazing that I could be wrong. And I was wrong, you see, and so was Gretchen Passantino, our colleague, who with me worked under Walter Martin here in the 1970s, and who with her husband Bob did the original research on the local church movement, and they actually wrote the very first critique of it in 1975, and you see, it was on the basis of our research primarily that the whole body of literature on the local church was built. And the quotations that appear in this open letter, we're very familiar with because we unearthed a lot of those. So, you know, to me, that they would be wrong only follows since they're building their conclusions on our original work, and we were wrong. And, you know, it's just a matter of how we could be wrong is simply that we took our Western evangelical countercult paradigm and applied it to a movement that grew in the Far East in a very different cultural situation. And we did not ask the right questions. And, you know, the problem wasn't just on our side. It was on the side of the local church people as well. They could be rather militant when their orthodoxy was being challenged. And the whole conversation could deteriorate into a very heated exchange. And also the teaching style of Witness Lee, the leader of the movement at the time in the 1970s and until he died in 1997, was one that we don't understand in the West. You know, he would make controversial statements that could be misinterpreted, and he would not immediately clarify his position and submit it to many qualifications because he wanted the full force of the particular thing that he was saying at the moment to sink in. So later in his teaching, he would then present the balancing views that showed that what he was teaching was well within orthodox theology. But we, in our research, did not keep reading far enough. We came across those heretical sounding statements. They, you know, clearly sounded like heresy, and a lot of these quotations in the open letter clearly sound like heresy. And so we concluded that they were heretical. But you see, it was a flaw in our research methodology, Hank, and it's only been really in, you know, CRI, more than any other ministry that I know of in the countercult world, all the way back to the days of Walter Martin, has always believed in dialogue, believed in being open and seeking to reach out and win people to Christ and not just denounce them as heretics. And we've practiced it at many times, but nonetheless, in many cases, we would simply read a group's literature and draw conclusions without seeking to have them explain their teachings to us. And we never really went to them and sought dialogue and understanding from them. And when you accepted their invitation for dialogue in 2003, which originally I was very uncomfortable with, but I went along with it because I believe in dialogue and you asked me to. But as we actually began to enter into dialogue, they began to explain the context of some of these teachings that we had all responded to. Now, the people that wrote this open letter, they haven't engaged in that same dialogue process. I believe that many of them who are fair-minded and good scholars would and still will as they read our material here and as they maybe even take it the next step and enter into dialogue with the local church members themselves, they will come to the same conclusions that we have. That while, as you said, there are areas that we would differ theologically with the local churches, it's not in the realm of heresy or versus orthodoxy. It's in the realm of intramural differences among Orthodox Christians.
I had an experience recently in China. I had traveled with a fellow Christian, and we had experienced some of the most incredible fellowship with believers in China. It was moving. We experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. We experienced mutual edification on a very, very deep level. And that night, the believer said to me, I have seldom in my life seen authentic New Testament Christianity like this. And he was moved to tears. The next morning, I saw him, and his face was ashen. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, I think we may have been taken in. And I said, why is that? He said, well, look at this. He had communicated with a family member the depth of the experience that he had in China. That family member had told someone else that someone else had gone to the web and had emailed him a portion of the open letter. And he read quotes from that open letter, and he said, there's no getting out of this. These people have to be cultists. They say the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are not three separate persons or three gods. They are one God, one reality, one person. And how can Witness Lee teach that the Son is both the Father and the Spirit? How can you possibly square that with orthodoxy? Looking at the quotes in the open letter, you say there's no way of getting out of this. This is heresy.
You're right. And yet, after you read my treatment of this in this particular article, were you still saying the same thing?
No, and that's the point. The need for an article like this is that I was able to assure that friend that there's another side to the story, that just as you said, you have to be willing and able to follow a sustained, substantive argument and recognize that the qualifiers are not in the quotes that have been used in the open letter. And if you read just what they produced, you have to say it's heresy.
Right.
But if you read in context what Witness Lee was teaching on the nature of God, it actually can be a corrective
to some of the teachings in Western Christianity that can very easily border on tritheism.
Right. You see, the interesting thing about this, Hank, is that, you know, we have called many groups' teachings heresy in the history of Christian Research Institute. It's part of what we do. It's not that we're heresy hunters and we love to just criticize people, but we have a zeal to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered for the saints. And so we want to reach cultists for Christ, and we want to make sure Christians are discerning that they themselves would not get sucked into heresy.
Classic example, Worldwide Church of God.
Right. And so we often have come across teachings where people make statements that are heretical, that sound heretical just as much as these teachings from Witness Lee that you mentioned. And when we got further into it and when we talked with the members, we were not misunderstanding them. This is exactly what they believed. And so we were right about them. But with the local church movement, it was always a matter of, we would say, but this is heretical and you're teaching modalism. And they would just adamantly deny that they were. They would affirm that they were orthodox. They were very strong about this. Now, how do you square this? On the one hand, they're making these statements. On the other hand, they're saying, no, we're in your camp. We agree with you. Something is not computing. Something is missing. Could it be that they just live in a world of logical inconsistency, that they think that A and non-A can both be true? Or are we missing something about their teaching? Could it be that the cultural divide has caused us to approach their teaching in such a way that we've missed a larger body of information that would put in context those teachings and show that they are not heresy? Now, this is what my article demonstrates. It's hard to really lay it all out in a few minutes on the radio. You really have to read it. But, you know, people who say, I've seen the complaint appear, and it's an understandable complaint. Well, you at CRI tell us that you've researched it and it's orthodox, but are we supposed to simply take your word for it when we've got these quotes staring us in the face that Witness Lee and the local church members have made? And that's a good point, but now it's no longer the case, because all the basis for our conclusions are all laid out, fully documented in this article, and you can look at it for yourself. But ultimately, you know, it just comes down to the fact that, in regard to the Trinity, they actually are bringing a corrective to a problem within Western evangelicalism, and that is that we have sometimes got rather simplistic approaches to how we deal with the mystery of the Trinity, as if we can codify the entire doctrine in four simple statements, and that it's no longer a mystery. For two millennia, the best minds in the Christian church have struggled with this doctrine. Now, all of a sudden, the countercult community in America has simply nailed it, and you know it fits our little brief statements. One God in three persons, or three persons in one nature, and if you deviate from that, now you're in the realm of heresy. Well, no, it's not that simple, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about that after the break.
Well, you're addressing the open letter's concerns and the nature of God, and I'll tell you one thing, reading that article alone, grappling with it, would do every single person listening to my voice right now a great deal of good. I benefited immensely from it. In fact, I learned from it, and so will you. There's nothing more significant than understanding the nature of God, and virtually every single theological heresy boils down to a misconception of the nature of God. This article, in and of itself, is worth the price of the journal. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, we'll be right back.
If you'd like to know more about the local church and other topics discussed in today's broadcast, we invite you to start or renew your own subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Right now is the perfect time to order, because we've just released a special edition including a 5-part article reassessing the local church. You can order online securely at equip.org. or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man.
Than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Cantigraph has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Cantigraph, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Cantigraph. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal to strengthen and enhance your relationship with God. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, order online at www.equip.org, or you can call us at 888-7000-CRI. If you'd like to ask a question about the current issue of the journal or talk about doctrinal discernment, critical thinking, or reasons for faith and ethics, then call us right now. The number is 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, back to Hank Cantigraph and his guest.
Thank you, Randy. This unique issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the local church is available anywhere in the world immediately for downloading in a digital format. Or, of course, you can order a printed copy for delivery in the United States and Canada through our e-store at equip.org. You can also order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. This, again, is a must-read edition of the Christian Research Journal. You will be edified, encouraged, equipped, and exhorted. You will be strengthened in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Elliot, in this edition of the Christian Research Journal, writes that
The group that we're talking about here, the local church movement, is not only Christian, but in many ways an exemplary group of Christians. They're a fellowship of believers with a level of commitment to Christ, a level of discipleship that puts most Western Christian groups to shame. They've been tested by the fires of persecution and have persevered. And as a result, they have been forged into the image of Christ to an inspiring degree. Their love for Jesus Christ is compelling. Their sacrificial living, convicting. You and I experienced that in China. And I want to underscore, Elliot, that the primary research that we're talking about has been conducted not only in the U.S., but in faraway places throughout the world. We traveled to many cities in China. I've been to Hong Kong and to Taiwan and Shanghai and to Beijing, Fujian. I have been to London. I've been all over the world in earnestly searching out this matter. And what I have seen is exactly what you write here, authentic New Testament Christianity in action. In fact, a church that is multiplying so rapidly that the Chinese government doesn't know what to do about it. And I know that firsthand, having met with officials of SARA, the State Administration of Religious Affairs in China, officials in the CCC, the China Christian Council, which controls the registered church in China, and CAS, the Chinese Academy of the Social Sciences. So I know firsthand that what you are saying is absolutely correct, and the Chinese government today doesn't know what to do with the incredible growth of Christianity. They're saying now that maybe 20 million in the registered church and some 130 million others in the persecuted or house church movement in China. Why? Because these are believers that are willing to take up their cross and daily follow Christ. We can learn a lot in the West because we're beginning to look a lot more like Europe than the Pacific Rim nations that we experienced authentic New Testament Christianity in.
That's sadly true about us, Hank, and very exciting about what is going on in China and other parts of Asia. And it's, you know, one of my concerns is that we in the West learn to be able to see things from a perspective that transcends our narrow parochial Western American evangelical perspective and see things from the perspective of church history and the bigger picture of the Great Commission, and realizing that the world that we're living in right now is rapidly changing, and in many respects it's not changing for the better, but yet opportunities open up. And right now opportunity, you know, China is in a state of flux, and it could go in different directions, but there is undeniably much greater religious freedom there. And there's undeniably a revival going on there. And what I observe, having the concerns about faithfulness to orthodoxy, faithfulness to the essentials of the gospel, and genuine Christian discipleship, and not just having something that calls itself Christianity and they raise their hands in worship and they get emotional when they pray, but then they begin to preach prosperity as a sign of God's favor and as a guarantee of the gospel, or they begin to incorporate shamanistic pagan practices into their Christianity, which you often find in areas in which Christianity is growing in the third world. But when we were in China, what I saw was a much more faithful expression of Christianity, and I began to see that this could be the best hope for the church in the future. As the lights are going out in the West, they are starting to brighten up in the East. And you have some very dedicated disciples of Christ, dedicated, I might add, within the local church movement, to orthodox theology. They're not just into experiencing Christ. And they're certainly not into just name it and claim it kind of theology at all. They understand what sacrifice is. They understand what faithfulness is. And they are aggressively bringing the gospel as much as they can within that repressive regime to the lost. And you and I saw an example of that when we attended the meeting of the church in Nanjing. And it was a two-story building that was full on both floors for the morning worship service. And then afterwards, we broke up upstairs into a multitude of small group college-age meetings. And these young people were so excited about Jesus Christ. We went around. I was in a group of maybe 15, 16. There were probably seven or eight groups like that throughout the second floor. And you were in another one. And in my group, they went around the group and they had everybody tell how long they'd been a Christian. I don't believe that one of them had been a Christian for longer than 6 years. And some of them had not yet become Christians, but were drawn there by the spiritual life that they were seeing in these people. And so at the end of the day's worship service, which started at 8:30 a.m. and ended at 2:30 p.m., they had a baptismal service, and there were 45 young people. I counted them. Lined up to be baptized. And that wasn't like, well, we're having our annual baptism. That was like this week's baptism. And so, you know, do we really want to be undermining or repressing something where the Spirit of God is moving this way, especially when the evidence has now finally surfaced after decades that these people are not denying essential doctrines of the Christian faith?
Well, let's go back to the controversy then, because the open letter's concerns are that this movement is teaching heresy with respect to the nature of humanity. And they give a quote here as evidence of this. This is a quote by Witness Lee, in which he says, "Christ is of two natures, the human and the divine, and we are the same. We are of the human nature, but covered with the divine. He is the God-man, we are the God-men. He's the ark made of wood covered with gold, and we are the boards made of wood covered with gold. In number, we're different, but in nature, we are exactly the same." So here you have it, say these scholars, these Christian leaders. This is rank heresy. Now, I would quickly add, in the interest of time, that you can read on and hear that Lee makes an important qualification. He says we are human beings, and as human beings, we need to be deified, to be made like God in life and in nature. But he himself says, in the next sentence, it is a great heresy to say that we are made like God in his Godhead. We are God not in his Godhead, but in his life, nature, element, essence, and image. And we might not like the words, but if we're going to call this heresy, we have to start talking about the Apostle Peter, who said we are partakers of the divine nature. Now, he wasn't saying that we are reproductions of God, but he was saying that we reflect the communicable attributes of God.
Exactly. And you see, this is the thing. Because this movement developed in a different culture than ours, where there's not the same sensitivity maybe to various heretical groups that speak about deification of man, they didn't have the same inhibitions about developing what is actually a biblical doctrine in a way that might make us uncomfortable. And that is that they speak of deification or becoming God. Well, you know, I'm very uncomfortable with words like that. I've been researching the New Age movement here at CRI for decades. I wrote a book on it. I was formerly a New Ager. I once sought to become God, you know, so that obviously makes me extremely uncomfortable. But let's understand the context of what they're teaching. And when you get the context of what they're teaching, for example, Witness Lee says, "On the one hand, the New Testament reveals that the Godhead is unique and that only God, who alone has the Godhead, should be worshipped. On the other hand, the New Testament reveals that we, believers in Christ, have God's life and nature and that we are becoming God in life and nature, but will never have his Godhead." Okay, and I lay out all of these different quotes in which he teaches that we do not partake in the sovereignty of God. We are never not to be worshipped. And furthermore, we partake in the God in his the deity, not with respect to eternity or the ontological nature of God, but with respect to God's economy, his salvation plan here on the earth, which is a progressive manifestation of God first, you know, through the creation, then through Christ, then through the work of the Holy Spirit, and then through the church. And ultimately, when the church is perfected, our lowly human natures will be conformed into the likeness of his glorious nature. He became man that we might become like him, that we might manifest God as perfectly as he does, that we might have an intimacy with the triune God that is such that, you know, we perfectly represent him. And he prayed that they might be one even as we are one. Okay, this is the kind of thing that the local church is talking about. They're talking about things that we ourselves believe in. We just don't use the same words for it. They're not talking about us becoming like God in his eternal nature, becoming objects of worship, having sovereignty, becoming omnipotent, all omnipresent, you know, omniscient. No, those are incommunicable attributes of God. What they're talking about is exactly what we believe, that as we are perfected in his image, we will take on his communicable attributes and we will experience an intimacy with him that is perfect.
Talking to Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. On tomorrow's edition of the broadcast, we're going to address the open letter's concerns on the legitimacy of evangelical churches and denominations, as well as concerns on lawsuits. We'll be talking about all of that and so much more on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, this unique issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the local church is available anywhere in the world immediately for downloading in a digital format, or you can order a printed copy for delivery in the United States and Canada through our e-store at equip.org. Much more could be said. We're out of time. Don't miss tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Elliot Miller talking about this special edition of the Christian Research Journal and the words, "We Were Wrong."
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more of the discussion with Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. The Christian Research Journal provides well-researched answers and illuminating illustrations with the help of award-winning authors and artists in each edition. This is just one more reason to call CRI and start your subscription. Just call 888-7000-CRI and tell the resource consultant that you'd like to receive or give the Christian Research Journal. Or order online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.